It's 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, where for the next hour, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. It's Talking Animals now at KUCI. That's music from the Stone Roses with a song called Elephant Stone as we ease into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine and streaming live on the internet at KUCI.org. I'm Duncan Strauss and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly at 949-824-5824. 949-UCI, KUCI, and I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we love to get calls. Otherwise, we'll get a bit lonely here at the KUCI studios. Of course, other ways to be in touch include emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our wonderful website at talkinganimals.net. Again, welcome back, Serena. That's .net, folks. Speaking of which, before we move on, I want to welcome back Serena Sharp from her vacation. Thank her this morning for yet another rousing rendition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. It's been about 7 months since we launched Talking Animals, and we've been enormously fortunate during that time to have a long string of terrific guests, including Dr. Sophia Yin, a veterinarian who's done pioneering research on dog barks and what they mean, Ian Anderson, the singer-songwriter flute player behind rock band Jethro Tull and something of an animal advocate and expert, Dan Matthews, who is vice president of communication at PETA, is the chief strategist of the organization's high-profile campaigns. We also had a freewheeling chat with Meryl Marco, the Emmy-winning television writer, author, and creator of Stupid Pet Tricks on The Letterman Show nearly 25 years ago. Not only are all those interviews archived on our nifty website at www.talkinganimals.net, but our string of exceptional guests continues today when we speak with Betsy Lipscomb, something of a cat behaviorist who invented the Smart Cat Pika Prize Toy Box, a device designed to reduce boredom and obesity in house cats, especially indoor-only cats. We'll discuss various aspects of the toy box, including observations of our in-house overweight test cat, Curtis, using the device, with Betsy Lipscomb when she joins us live on the phone a bit later in the program. Meanwhile, in Talking Animals, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news, and I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals, not only this week's animal news items, but other animal topics you care to discuss, announcements, events, things that you know of coming up that we should be aware of. Any stories you might have spotted at all, be most welcome at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. So turning now to interesting or important developments recently in animal news. Typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international stories of note that seem important to spotlight and with any luck to get your comments on and discuss. We'll also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So that said, let's talk turkey, as it were. Starting off, as we typically do, with the mention about Tiger Rescue. That's, again, the facility out in Colton, California, right kind of near San Bernardino and Broad Strokes, that has been in the news off and on for several months now. And it was a so-called sanctuary. Again, couldn't be in bigger phony-type quotes. For tigers and other big cats that had ostensibly retired from movie and film work and other work apparently as well. But anyway, very long, complicated story with legal ramifications. So the short version is basically the facility had really been neglected for some time, and more to the point, of course, the animals there had been neglected, seriously neglected for some time. So the proprietor is now facing a serious string of very major criminal charges, And that trial keeps being postponed, but it's coming up, I think, in the next week or two now. But meanwhile, most of those animals are still there and still need to be cared for. So an amazing man named Chuck Tracy left his own animal care facility called the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Ramona, California, down by San Diego, and stepped up in every sense of that term to kind of run the day-to-day operation of Tiger Rescue until things can be resolved and the animals can be relocated. And he does so really, though, with an ongoing kind of rotating battalion of volunteers who drive in from all parts of Southern California, Ventura to Del Mar and other parts of San Diego and beyond. I know sometimes from Northern California, I think even from other states at this point. So I say this all by way of mentioning that there's really a cool opportunity if you have some time or could make some time to go out there yourself and volunteer for a day. Weekend if you can swing it, of course, weekday greater just because it's harder sometimes to find volunteers on weekdays. And essentially what you do is you go care for these animals. I mean, there's tigers or the big cats, there's other animals as well, including, I don't know if they're still there, but there's a number of dogs. I mean, there's just a kind of a range of animals. And basically you, kind of look after them. You clean their enclosures, you water them down, clean their water tanks, feed them. Do anything else that's going to make their lives a little better until they're relocated. So, and on a very related note, a number of actual, real legitimate sanctuaries have been contacted. I think one in particular has agreed to take most, if not all, of the remaining ones. Some have already been relocated to various facilities, including the Austin Zoo. We had Cindy Caraccio on the show some weeks back. But anyway. Even those who have agreed to do it, that have the space to do it, sometimes don't necessarily have the enclosures yet to do it. So right now, another important effort is raising funds to build enclosures at those places that can indeed take the tigers from Tiger Rescue. So that's all by way of saying if you could make a donation of some kind to... let's do this, shall we? What the heck? To help with that process, you could just cut a check and mark it Save the Tigers and send it to the Fund for Animals. Attention, Save the Tigers. And that would go to 200 West 57th Street, New York, New York, 10019. And another way to go about that with sort of a more local emphasis is, since we're only barely into January, I think this is still quite pertinent, there's some really cool calendars that the Fund for Animals folks have put together that include some animals from the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center I referred to down in Ramona, but also a number of the animals from Tiger Rescue. $10 takes it away, and those proceeds, again, all of it, 100%, goes to help the animals. So if you want to do that, send your $10 to Cindy Tracy, T-R-A-I-S-I, the Fund for Animals Wildlife Rehabilitation here. So it's the Fund for Animals Wildlife Center, 18740 Highland Valley Road, Ramona, California, 92065. And $10 covers the calendar and the postage and the whole nine yards. Really, really cool. So that's Tiger Rescue. We'll keep you posted on what's happening, especially as the trial proceeds. But I suppose, locally and beyond, the story really in the animal world is the mountain lion attacks. Of course, that happened in the Orange County foothills here, and as you probably know, they've now confirmed that the man, Mark Reynolds, who was attending to his bike, I guess a broken chain, was mauled to death by the mountain lion that then later attacked the woman, and Hailey, I think it's pronounced, who's hospitalized but actually doing much, much better, and I guess due to be released actually maybe in a few days' time. So there seems to be quite a bit of difference of opinion even about the likelihood of more attacks. Some experts say it's inevitable. Some just say it was totally a freakish thing. Of course, that mountain lion was tracked down, and they believe, killed the one they believe was responsible, and I think they've largely verified that indeed was responsible for these two attacks. So, and in fact, the woman who helped pull the woman from the mountain lion, Debbie Nichols, was on the Today Show today, so from Orange County. So, huge story. Don't know if you have any thoughts about what can or should be done. Is it just a very freakish exception, or, you know, does it have larger ramifications? And if so, what might we do about it? There is, by the way, apparently a fund set up for the woman. And Hale, I think it's pronounced highly. And you can find out more about that on the Today MSNBC.com website. So, anyways, but there was also apparently a candlelight vigil for Mark Reynolds yesterday at the Foothill Ranch apartment complex that he lived in. And just, you know, anyways, really rough, tough story. So, and I guess speaking of candlelight vigils, down the road a piece in San Diego, I want to let you know that I'm just going to read this, actually. PETA's campaign against Petco is based on the countless complaints they've received from Petco customers and employees on the inhumane treatment of animals at Petco stores across the country. Employees at Petco stores are so poorly trained that baby birds have starved to death. Animals have been cannibalized by cage mates as a result of stressful, overcrowded conditions. And managers have ordered employees to throw sick and injured animals into freezers to die. In memory of the animals who have suffered and died at Petco stores across the country, will be holding a candlelight vigil in front of Petco's headquarters in San Diego. That's today, January 12th, from 4:45 to 6 p.m. at 9125 Recho, R-E-C-H-O, Road. So you can find out more about that and just the overall campaign by going to PetcoCruelty.com. It's time now, in the midst of our animal news segment, to do something we started a few weeks back. It's a mini quiz. It's true, false. It's one question. If you know the answer and you call it in and you're correct, you get a prize. That's right, folks. We're big on prizes here at Talking Animals. So let's throw this out. If you know, it's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. True or false? Bumblebees use 21 muscles to sting. True or false? Let us know. 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Also, I want to mention something I have been pretty steadily for the last several weeks, but it does seem pretty cool and legit, and I've checked it even further. So it's called the Animal Rescue Site, and basically it's a website that you can go every day, click on a section called Feed an Animal in Need, and because of the arrangement with the corporate sponsors and advertisers, doing so indeed releases funds to help different rescue organizations with the feeding and care of animals. So basically you want to go to www.theanimalrescuesite.com and just click on Feed an Animal in Need, and you can go every day and do that, which is really, really cool. So anyway, let's see what else. Again, more on an international level. For the past year, Korea Animal Protection Society and its sister organization, International Aid for Korean Animals, as well as animal organizations around the world, have been lobbying for the Korean government not to adopt a draft law which would recognize two classes of animals, pets and livestock. Dogs and cats would not be exempted from their definition and would therefore be, quote unquote, raised as livestock for human consumption. The Korean government appears to be determined to adopt the new law and a set in motion process that could result in being approved by the Korean National Assembly in July 2004. If this law passes as planned, only dogs and cats raised explicitly as quote-unquote pets will be protected. Not only does this mean that dogs and cats raised for human consumption will have no protection from abuse whatsoever, but it also allows for any dog abuser to get away with torturing these animals legally, just as long as he claims the animal is not a pet. Please send a letter of protest to the Korean government and the Ministry of Agriculture. This matter is most urgent, as the Korean government has already set up a timeline for the introduction of this new law. The law will be drafted and then sent to Korean animal-related organizations for review in February 2004. So you can check with us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, or you can visit IDAUSA.org to tell your friends about this. So that's, I think, going to do it for today's edition of Animal News, and we're going to, of course, jump right into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner. And with something a little different, we're always trying to mix it up a bit here on Talking Animals. So this is a slice of musical comedy, though. As always, it's animal-oriented. This is Cindy Benson with a tune called Pets on KUCI.
Some folks collect paintings, some folks collect stamps. Some are a masters of antimacassars and others Victorian lamps. Some folks collect horses, others we know Renault divorces. But I, little me, well, I just can't wait till you see my pets. I collect pets. I collect everything from mice to marmosets. I've a whirling mouse called Jumbo and a cockatoo from Columbo who tells dirty jokes and smokes cigarettes. I've a dinner jacketed penguin who gives me lessons and poems, and a very sexy old peacock who makes such an interesting noise. But the pride of my collection is my bevy of Hollywood boys, and like a child I'm simply wild about my pets. Pets, hundreds of pets. I even keep a separate kennel for the vets. I've a genuine chinchilla and a rather she gorilla who wears negligees and plays minuets. I've a Persian kitten from Newport who only cares for whipped cream, and a pair of riotous rabbits. The way they behave is scream. And as soon as I've more cages, I will manage a football team. And like a child, I'm simply wild about my pets. I'm a girl who pets all of her pets. You should see my crocodile. What a croc! I've an acrobatic monkey and a highly endowed young donkey who's done three films and he's as good as it gets. I've an Abrucochis canary who sings so loud that I'm deaf, and an awfully fussy French poodle. Thank heavens I've got a French chef. And I've covered all the bars in the valley, and believe me, there's nothing left. I'm simply wild about. I couldn't do without my collection of pets.
All right, that was Cindy Benson with thing called Pets, as you might have gathered, and it's from her CD, Out on a Whim. It's you're listening to Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI. And before we proceed, I'm obliged to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in Talking Animals are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. Earlier in the show, I mentioned that among other things Betsy Litcombe has done in the animal world, she's invented the Smart Cat Pika Prize Toy Box, a device designed to reduce boredom and obesity in house cats, especially indoor-only cats. One of the reasons I wanted to feature it on Talking Animals is that, intrigued by the description of the device and its potential benefits, I decided to test it out on our cat, Curtis, who may not suffer from boredom, but, let's just say, is definitely overweight. And Curtis is a she, by the way. And it barely had the toy box out of its wrapping when she jumped off the chair she had been sitting on and immediately started playing. So there's plenty more to say on subsequent Curtis findings, but let me bring Betsy on the line to join us here, and we'll describe the box and get in all kinds of other questions here. So, Betsy, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Betsy, this is Betsy Lipscomb. Welcome to Talking Animals.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining us today. So, I was just saying, you might have heard while you were holding there that we did do some sort of at least anecdotal research testing on our own in-house overweight cat, and Curtis. So we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. But I think what I'll try to do, and you can sort of jump in and do a better job if you'd like along the way, is just sort of at least try to describe the Pika Prize toy box. So to me, like many of the best inventions, it's pretty simple. It's like a wooden box and sort of a 13 and a half inch square, like 3 inches high off the ground. On the top, the sort of major surface, there are 16 round holes, each about a couple inches in diameter. And well, each side of the box has three such holes that are also about 2 inches big. So it looks kind of like a three-dimensional wooden piece of Swiss cheese, basically.
Yes, it does.
And then there's toys, in our case, two kind of multicolored balls are placed in the box. And the challenge for the cat is to maneuver the toy out of the box.
Exactly.
So, judging by the Curtis experience, it's pretty stimulating and a total blast. So, I guess, you know, I definitely want to delve into all that in a moment. But first, just for a bit of context, let's find out a little bit about your life with animals. Did you grow up with animals? And have you been an animal person kind of all your life? Or?
Well, yes, I have. And it's mainly because of my mother. We even have pictures of a cat in the crib with me, which is not really a good idea for most people, but but it seemed I survived, and I certainly love cats and have been studying them for many years.
So did you have like quite a few growing up, or just kind of serially, or did you have multiple at a time? Or
well, we usually had about three at a time when I was growing up. We also always had a dog.
Okay.
And birds, you know, we had a number of pets.
I see. And how about currently? Are there quite a few animals around these days, the Lipscomb household?
Oh, in ours, yes. We have seven cats. We have a wonderful yellow lab and three horses.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's... So was it sort of through then all the years of living with cats and obviously other animals as well? I mean, how did you get the idea for the toy box?
Well, you know, I think I've also been very much involved with animal welfare, and I started a nonprofit organization called Cats International. We give free behavior advice for people who are having problems with their kitties' behavior.
And does that still go on? I know in kind of researching this that I guess you started that in about 91, and is that still, like, could someone, you know, not necessarily local to your area, because you're sort of in Wisconsin, I want to say, or no?
We are in Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay.
And we were initially called the Wisconsin Cat Club, but then we started getting calls from all over the country and even other countries.
Okay.
So we expanded our name to Cats International to better reflect the geographical area we serve.
So now anybody, like, that's listening to the show, if they had a cat question, could they call in and get that same kind of help?
They certainly could.
And what's that phone number then?
Just my number is 262
okay.
375 8852.
Great. Well,
they might also like to check out our website first, however, because many people answer their questions just by viewing that.
I see.
And the website is catsinternational.org.
All right. Well, that's pretty simple.
I think, it is.
Shouldn't have much for trouble remembering that one.
Yes.
So, okay. So basically through your work with Cats International and various humane kind of projects and societies, is that kind of what led you, just dealing with sort of behavioral issues and questions, to develop the toy box? Or how did it come about exactly?
Well, yes, it did come about through my experience with cats. And, you know, when I was growing up, and we're talking the 50s and 60s, many people had cats, but they were indoor-outdoor cats.
Right.
And now, I have to say, the movement is definitely toward having indoor-only cats. People are feeling they're a lot safer. You know, they don't get run over or, you know, have other problems.
Sure.
And in many communities, there are leash laws for cats now, so you can't have free-roaming cats. And then we see, you know, with our work that we do with behavior counseling, that many of these cats that are indoor-only are having many problems. One is obesity. They're just not motivated. They're not moving around enough, and they're eating fatty foods like a lot of us, you know.
So just by virtue of, in other words, living indoors the whole time, that's a key part of the sort of growing, so to speak, obesity problem?
Well, it is, and other problems, too, that are equally damaging to cats. For example, many kitties become so stressed by the boredom that they start actually doing very self-mutilating type things where they're licking their fur off or biting at themselves. It's almost like the problems that they have with the big cats in zoos.
Right.
Know? And they, you know, as you know, in zoos, now they're introducing ways to stimulate these animals.
Sure.
They have various ways of doing it. But, you know, we really haven't done much with our indoor cats. I mean, we pet them. Sometimes we play with them or throw out a toy for them. But that's not enough. Cats are born and designed to hunt. And so we have to simulate that hunting experience for cats to keep them stimulated and happy.
Okay.
And so that's what our toy box does. And, you know, we have a whole line of toys that are going to be coming out during this next year that will also stimulate the hunting instinct in kitties.
Wow. So so once you kind of, you know, sort of zeroed in on this issue, how did the process unfold? I mean, were there earlier versions of the toy box? Was there an initial prototype? Kind of walk us through that a bit, if you would.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, there have been different versions of this in cardboard form and so on, but I was never really happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't hold up. They really, you know, the big kitties, if they sit on the box, it crushes, you know. They weren't very good, and I really felt we could do a better job with that. And our first version was made of a different wood. It was thinner. It wasn't as strong and sturdy as the one we have now. The one that we have now is a wood composite, and it is so strong that a man could stand on top of it and it wouldn't break.
Wow. Yeah. No, it does seem really, really sturdy. And again, just speaking again about Curtis, yeah, you'd want it to be sturdy because when she kind of stepped on it to try to fish stuff out, you wouldn't want it to be too... too wobbly, you know. So.
No. If it wobbles, they're not going to want to be around it. They just don't feel it's sturdy. So they, you know, many kitties like to pull the toys out from the side. In fact, my cat Bootsy does that only. He never takes it out of the top. And then there are kitties, I think maybe was Curtis taking them out of the top?
Well, she was like reaching in and batting it around, and then sometimes, yeah, she would kind of fish it out if she could hook the ball on her claw.
Yes.
But other times she was batting it out from the side. So it seemed to be working different ways. But the thing I thought was so kind of interesting is that I think as I might have mentioned in the introduction, I mean, I barely had this thing out of the box. You know, and she happened to be on the chair in my office there when I was undoing it. But I mean, she immediately is there something also just intrinsic to that's I guess part of what I was asking about the sort of development or prototypes about the size and the shape and the holes, because I mean, she just like it's one thing to be curious, but I mean, she like was on that thing like I barely got it out of the box, you know, and so. Are there certain things about it that again, through your various versions, you thought, well, this is going to particularly appeal to a cat that we want to stimulate and give this activity to?
Well, we're very careful to make it the depth sufficient so that, you know, the kitties could reach their paws in and still reach the toys. You know, we just want it so high that the kitties
would frustrate them.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what we don't want to do.
Sure.
You know, there are many toys out there that allow kitties to bat at things, but they never actually capture them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bit frustrating.
Sure. And finally they give up, probably, I would think, right?
Yeah. And then, you know, it's no fun.
Yeah.
This way they actually catch the prey. You know, they can pull it out, bat it around, and this is where the exercise comes in. You know, if they start batting it around, I actually heard of one cat that will put the toys back in the box. But that's kind of rare, sort of like children. You know?
Wow, that's kind of one of the more anal retentive cats, probably. Like all done, puts their toys away. That's great.
So, but then you know, our job, of course, is to find them in different parts of the house and put them all back in the box.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it was so funny. I mean, after the experience I described, and then. So during the holidays and stuff, so I kind of just was busy and preoccupied and stuff. So one day I came back in the next day or so. I came back into my office and looked at the toy box, and both balls were gone, and I couldn't even find them. You know, so obviously she had been playing, you know, in my absence, which is great. But I just, you know, again, it just shows you the appeal of this thing, and is doing exactly what you said in terms of really stimulating them, I guess.
And I really stuffed my toy box with a lot of toys, not just two. You know, I mean, you can go to a pet store and find lots of little toys. We're coming out with toys that will fit in those holes, too.
Sure.
We don't like to see kitties have anything that's unsafe, so we really caution people against some of those little real fur mice. Some of them have little tacks for eyes and so on. We don't want anything so small that the cat could choke on it, so it's very important that the cat owners or cat guardians, you know, really look into that.
But sure.
They can put a lot of things in. Some kitties are very food motivated, and you can put little food treats in there, and they'll fish those out.
Yeah, well, I would imagine, although that would, at least in our case, defeat the purpose of trying to keep Curtis stimulated. But
exactly, yeah.
But so was there a pretty, like, once you kind of, you know, got sort of beyond cardboard to the wood, mm-hmm. was there a pretty consistent set of responses with the, I guess you were using your own kind of in-house test cats. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, did you learn certain things and still make changes as you, you know, introduced these versions to, I guess, the cats that live with you? Or how did you kind of finally arrive at the version we know today?
Well, yes, we do refine all of our products. We continue, you know, we get comments from people, and we do have a wonderful set of test cats right here in our home.
Yeah, that's great.
But then
yeah.
Many of the people who work with me have even more cats in their homes. So
sure.
We have a wonderful basis, like a laboratory for cat behavior. And well, as far as the box goes, there weren't a lot of modifications. We did modify the wood, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We made sure that the openings of the holes were rounded, so if, when the kitty plays with it a lot, they're not, you know, shaving off the fur on their legs.
Yeah.
So it'd be comfortable. We didn't want them to get hurt, you know, playing with it.
Sure.
But it's very, you know, it's very basic, but very and simple. But you know, cats, really, as you found out, really go for it. And I find kittens take to it very naturally too, because they are so curious.
Sure.
They always want to poke around at things, and this is a natural behavior. It comes from one of their many hunting skills.
And were there specific principles kind of within that dealing with the hunting instinct? Like you talked about the rounded holes, but I mean, for example, the size of the toy box, or why 16 holes, for example, or the size of the holes. Were those kind of reflect, again, different versions, or just basic principles of sort of that hunting behavior you thought would further stimulate them? Or
well, to be quite honest with you, there's nothing terribly scientific about the size of our toy
okay.
box. We just
yeah.
thought that was
about the right
a nice size.
Size
for
yeah.
people to have in their homes.
Sure.
If you're to, you know, pick up and so forth. It could have been larger, but this is a good size. Most kitties just, you know, find it to be just right for
mm-hmm.
them. So
cool.
Yeah, we didn't try too many different sizes. But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was, you know, fairly easy to come up with, and I think we're at the perfect model here. I don't
yeah.
think we're adding too many changes to it at this point.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
And this is sort of both a general question and one that motivated again by our in-house test cat being a bit on the portly side is you can readily see how the toy box would reduce a cat's boredom. I mean, it just mm-hmm. it's clearly it's fun,
mm-hmm.
but to what extent can you sort of quantify how it reduces a cat's obesity or at least being overweight if not obese?
Well, you know, there are so many other factors in
mm-hmm.
obesity.
Yeah.
This is only the start.
Right.
Really, it is. It, you know, I'm not claiming this is going to make kitties thinner. It
sure.
really isn't. If the kitty gets off its little couch, you know,
mm-hmm. right,
that's a
right.
good start.
Sure, that's a step
and
in the right direction.
If it's motivated, yeah. you know, to play for a while, you know, that energy expended is certainly going to help the kitty's general health.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah, and so that in that right respect. But, you know, cats also need to monitor their diets, too. And, you know, veterinarians can help with that information. And,
sure.
Many of the foods we feed them, you know, first of all, they're not hunting for them anymore, you
mm-hmm.
know. And they can just go to a bowl and, you know, plow in there and eat everything.
Yeah.
And,
not much
and
energy
then they go
expended.
Take a nap.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's a great life, certainly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We need to, you know, maybe cut down on the food supply, you know, judiciously with the help of a vet. You don't want to do that quickly, or that can be very damaging to their health, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then also look at the food you're giving, the quality of it, and so forth. But then the cats need exercise. They really do not get a lot of exercise inside unless they have another cat companion that they're, you know, chasing around. That helps tremendously.
If sure.
a companion. I certainly like to recommend some toys that we don't even make. For example, those pole toys. Those are great for reducing kitty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they chase the little toy at the end of the pole and so on.
Sure.
Really want to get the cat moving and interested in things.
Yeah, great. Well, we're just sort of just about reaching the end of our time here, Betsy. Anything else you want to tell us, excuse me, either about the toy box or mm-hmm. about anything else that
well,
Smart
you know,
Cat?
Well, one other item that
sure.
I'm very excited about that we have is our scratching post. The reason I really felt it was important to get some good scratching posts available to people is, first of all, I don't want to see people declawing their cats. That's very damaging to cats, and there's four cities in our country that have banned it, and I think that's going to only increase when people see how damaging it is physically as well as psychologically to cats.
Sure.
So because I just couldn't find any good scratching posts, I have been making some myself from, 20 years, but we finally are manufacturing these beautiful posts made with sisal rope, and they're quite, attractive. Cats love them. They last for, very long time, looking very good. So both the toy box and the post are available through the Doctors Foster and Smith catalog.
Oh, cool. But also you guys have your own, if I'm not mistaken, website. It's www.esmartcat.com.
Mm-hmm. That's right. They can contact our website or Doctors Foster and Smith, or we have Smart Cat has a phone number, too, if you'd like. I can give that to you.
Absolutely. That'd be great.
And that is 866-31-SMART.
Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. And one other thing just about that scratching post, because, again, I'm preparing for this, I noticed that one of the things that really kind of distinguishes that is that it's taller, right, than most conventional scratching posts. Is that one of the things that kind of really differentiates it seems?
That's very important, that it be at least 30 inches tall. Ours is 32 inches tall.
Wow.
Cats should be able to reach up with their front paws and still be touching the post. That's very important for their territorial marking behaviors. They like to reach up high to let other animals know that I'm this big, don't mess with me. This is my territory is basically what they're saying.
Cool.
So that's very important. It also has to be very stable, as ours is. And many studies have been done that show that cats prefer plant fiber for scratching, not, carpeting, synthetics, and so on. And the sisal material is a plant fiber that cats love to scratch on. So they just go to it quite naturally.
And one last question, Betsy, is about that. Is if can a scratching post like that be introduced sort of at any point, or is there a certain point in a cat's life, if they've been doing scratching, whatever, where even if you brought one in, that wouldn't necessarily stop them from scratching the couch or whatever you're trying to get them to not scratch?
You know what? Cats International guarantees that we can solve any destructive scratching problem 100%. And we have never had a case we couldn't solve completely. And this is with either a kitten or a cat that is, 20 years old and never seen a scratching post before.
Wow.
Yeah.
By way of that scratching post, or a combination of things that includes the scratching post?
Well, they have to know where to put the post.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in a good spot where the cat likes to scratch, for one thing.
I see.
I just as simple as scratching on it with your own nails. I never recommend you forcing the cat to scratch on it, but if you scratch on it with your own nails and call the kitty over,
mm-hmm.
that helps. Sometimes kitties like catnip, and you can rub a little catnip on the sisal because it kind of sticks to it, and the kitty will, go over there and scratch on it. There's lots of little tricks you can use to get the cat to scratch the post, and then we have some ideas on how to keep the cat away from its previous inappropriate scratching targets.
Cool. Well, this is great, and again, people can find out more about that by going to the catsinternational.org website or calling 262-375-8852. Also, the Smart Cat Pika Prize toy box, as well as the scratching post you just mentioned, can also be sort of found on the website at www.esmartcat.com or calling 866-31-SMART. And Betsy Lipscomb, thanks so much for joining us today on Talking Animals. I really enjoyed it, and it was really kind of an interesting glimpse into the world of animal behavior and how to address them and how to have fun.
Well, thank you. I enjoyed our visit, too.
All right. We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Betsy Lipscomb, again, from the Smart Cat Pika Prize toy box creator and other things that she described. And we just gave the website information. Again, it's esmartcat.com or catsinternational.org. And if you didn't catch the phone number, would still want that, you can check with us at talkinganimals@aol.com. So this is indeed Talking Animals on KCI, and it's 88.9 FM, and it's, seems like a good time not only for an animal song, but a sort of cat-oriented animal song. This is Feline Icity from the Laurel Canyon Animal Company on KCI.
Something's been been coming over me for quite some time. I don't know what it could be. I'm feeling so feline. Sitting on the fence and singing my heart out so everybody will know. I'm feeling felinicity. I'm feeling so sublime. I'm feeling felinicity. I'm feeling so feline. Sitting on the windowsill or stretching out on the hood, staying out all night, getting in fights just because it feels so good. Might do some pussyfooting, chasing feathers in the air, or sit in a tree with a Cheshire grin, telling anybody who cares. I'm feeling felinicity. I'm feeling so sublime. I'm feeling felinicity. I'm feeling so feline. Going hunting, feel the jungle in my blood. Stay out late, find a mate before the sun comes up. And maybe if you're lucky, I'll leave a present at the door. Have something to eat, then go to sleep. Don't wake me till after four. I'm feeling felinicity. I'm feeling so sublime. I'm feeling felinicity. I'm feeling so feline.
That's Felinicity from the Laurel Canyon Animal Company. KCI here, Talking Animals. Duncan Strauss, and it's time now. That's right. We're Name That Animal Tune. And I think you know how it works, but let me just run through it just in case. It's pretty much like any other version of Name That Tune that you'd care to mention, except that in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. Usually just by virtue of one or more animals being part of the song title, but occasionally it's a bit more indirect than that. And either way, like most renditions of this game, we can only provide a brief snippet of the tune in question for a number of reasons, not least that while, of course, the game hinges on a song being somewhat recognizable, we also don't want to stray too far for too long from the KUCI music policy. So with that preamble in mind, and noting, of course, that there's always a prize. Did he say prize? Yes, he did. For the first caller, who correctly identifies the song and artist. So as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Okay, let's get started. It's Talking Animals on KUCI.
I can't keep up with you no more. Have you tried?
Well, geez, I don't know if we could make it too much easier. We've had the title. He sung the title. Anybody? All right. Well, you can still call in at any point, 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. And if you're the first person to do so and call in, of course, with the correct answer, then you win a prize. I've got some cool prizes, I have to say. I've been beefing up the little prize bag over the holidays, so it's some good stuff. So, anyways, in the meantime, I'm going to hear yet another animal song, animal-related song. Might be more the bird division, as it were, but it's all under the overall rubric. I don't even know what that word means, but I thought I'd try it. Anyways, this is the old 97s with Bird on a Wire, KCI.
I left you last night on the left coast. I'm writing you a letter right now. Things that you do would render any you something I can't live without. Maybe, maybe I've got a pulse now. Maybe my heart's on fire. A bird in the hand is worth a bird in a cage is worth a bird on a telephone wire. Left you last night on the left side of the land of the free to be burned. Heat of your touch is making it such that I've forgotten everything I've learned. Maybe, maybe I've got a problem. Maybe my heart's a liar. A bird in the hand is worth a bird in a cage is worth a bird on a telephone wire. I may be a bird in a cage. The half that used to be mine. The way that you sleep is the image I'll keep, always on the edge of my mind. Maybe, maybe I got a reason for living even though I'm so tired. A bird in the hand is worth a bird in a cage is worth a bird on a telephone wire. A bird in the hand is worth a bird in a cage is worth a bird on a telephone wire. Maybe a bird in a cage.
That's the old 97s with Bird on a Wire on Talking Animals here on KUCI. I'm Duncan Strauss. We've just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed here on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. I want to thank again our guest, Betsy Lipscomb, The cool device she created, of course, is the Smart Cat Pika Prize Toy Box. Again, you can find out more about it at www.esmartcat.com. And you can get some cool free direction and guidance on cat behavioral difficulties at catsinternational.org or calling 262-375-8852. I also want to thank you all for listening. I hope you'll join us next Monday on Talking Animals when we'll feature a fascinating, but as yet unbooked, guest from some province of the animal world. So please join us next Monday, January 19th, on Talking Animals. By the way, other great public affairs shows on KUCI include, just today alone, the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talking Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Counterspin, the really fascinating and cool syndicated feature, followed at 5:30 by Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan. And that's just Monday, folks. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like that virtually each weekday here on KUCI. Typically 8 to 9 in the morning, again 9 and 10 in the morning, then also 5 to 6 in the afternoon. Also on the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m. Got somebody calling? Let's see if I have any chance they're calling about Name That Animal, too. KUCI, you're on the air. KUCI, you're on the air. All right. No, you're not. Worth a shot. Anyways, on the music side of the schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, Thursdays from 4 to 5 p.m., so when you have a chance, please check it out. And again, I want to urge you to check out our nifty website at talkinganimals.net, www.talkinganimals.net. And when you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. We've got some cool guests on the horizon, which we'll be able to announce shortly, I hope. Also, I encourage you to email us with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease. As always, we're going to close things out with an animal-related tune. This is Throwing Muses with a song called Crab Town. Again, we urge you to catch the Blues Disease, which will be infecting you momentarily. This is 88.9 FM, KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks for listening. Be kind to animals, be kind to others, be kind to yourself, and we'll catch you next week on Talking Animals.
Crab Town, baby brown. It's not work at all. It just slips around your fingers. It just sits around, lingers like a spell. speech. Lost my heart, come away with me. Oh, we can't hardly stand. Oh, we can't hardly wait around. Kiss me.
From Knockout Greg and Blue Weather, and then you're listening to Jeff Scott infecting you with the blues disease.